Born on the Nativity of Our Blessed Mother and celebrating 10 years on the air, the Winds of Change.
Marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is wrought. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. This is Mary with, this is Mary. I've got a bad throat today, so my voice is a little bit deeper perhaps. And I've got a guest today, and are you not on? You're not on.
Gee, I'm gone for a week, and now you just want to leave my mic off.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, you know.
It's okay.
We missed you. But no,
I missed you.
Yeah, this is Father Anthony, and Mary will be on tomorrow, actually. So we swapped
days.
And so Monday is the day after the marathon of a weekend, and so it's... I always have to begin by making an excuse, you know, for my lack of order or focus or whatever it might be.
That's a good thing sometimes.
So I mentioned yesterday, and gosh, we're really happy to have you back. Nick actually came on last week.
Good, I knew he would
for a little while there.
Nick is good. And then I heard Armin.
Armin was
bit.
On. Yeah,
it was really uplifting. Yeah. It's something. When you're here, I take it for granted sometimes because, you know, there's times when you talk and you don't know what you say. You don't even know if you sound coherent, and sometimes I don't.
But you don't sound what?
Coherent.
Coherent, yeah.
Like I know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But then when you're listening on, you know, when I'm on the other side, just listening on the radio, even your voice, and you don't want to hear it, it brings people in. And I sat there because I had a break of lunchtime, and I was sitting there, I got to go back upstairs, but... It was hard to walk away
good.
From this.
Good. No, it was a difficult week last week for everybody because of the election and all that. And not that we're going to continue talking about that. I think I'm kind of talked out, although we might end up saying a few things here and there. But it's not over yet. You know, so who knows? I one of the things I mentioned yesterday in the homily, and I was in retreat Saturday from 8 to 12. Hmm. That's why it was a full week because it was Zoom retreat because of the.
That's perfect.
Because really, I absolutely despise the Zoom stuff. You know, it's but I think it's going to become the norm.
It is.
Even after the virus is over.
Well, no, I think now everything's gonna. It's going to all end.
It's going to end. It's going to come.
Everything's going to be fine.
I wonder why. You know, I wonder why.
Everything's going to be fine.
Well, I'll tell you, all this has been choreographed. It's all been orchestrated.
That's what it feels like.
Feels like it. And people, you can figure out what we're talking about.
Digress. I don't want to even.
But with our groupings with the Renew My Church, so the team from St. John Cantius and Holy Trinity and St. Stan's, we were in a 4-hour Zoom retreat. And then afterwards, of course, I took a little ride because I had to get just to get out and then get back here for a wedding. And then, of course, it was just so it was just a nonstop weekend. But when I went out for this little ride, because I always, as I've mentioned many times, I take Kinsey to Lake Street under the L, and then around Upper Wacker, Michigan, up State Street, and then back around. I just love the city. Chicago's a beautiful city. It was. It was, still is, but it was so strange because the jubilation, the horns beeping, and then you could see, and I'm making a judgment here, I know, but I have an intuitive sense, you know, but the anarchists and the Antifa and the BLM and all that, the people were just pouring out, and it was like a weird, strange sensation that I had, and whatever. It's it is what it is for right now, and you know. But I learned at the retreat, and I mentioned this, I think, at the beginning of the homily yesterday, that there's a word that is not in sacred scripture that never appears in the, at least in the New Testament. I don't know about the old, but
I found that fascinating. When
that
you said
was
it.
Fascinating. In the gospel, nor in the epistles, there's a word that does not exist. You'll never find it. And the word is nice, you know? And I thought that was so interesting because as many have said, or not many, but some are, one of the problems in the church is that we've become, Michael Voris actually speaks about this a lot, but we become the church of nice. And we have to be nice all the time. And in fact, I tell you, because today is a feast of the Lateran Cathedral, St. John the Lateran, the first basilica in Christendom. Today's the feast day. And why did I bring that up? That just went right out of my head, the reason why I brought that up. Yes, because the gospel today, has Jesus in the temple. Wow. With the whip upturning the tables,
yeah,
and expressing certainly his is always righteous.
No. Was he nice?
He wasn't nice.
Exactly.
No, he wasn't nice. And as I said yesterday, I've said this many times, but I never knew the word nice never appeared in in Scripture, and that Jesus was not crucified because he was nice. It was because he was truth incarnate, truth that exposes all that is in the dark, and this is what has to happen right now. Because he's God is the Lord of history, and good does prevail. The innocent suffer. We've seen that through history, but eventually, good does prevail. But as long as we're this side of death, we're always in a battle. There's always a battle between the forces of good and the forces of evil. But good wins out. Always wins out. A lot of tragedy in the process. A lot of innocent people. All you have to do is look back at the past century, and how many millions upon millions upon millions of people died in the under the regime of atheistic systemic atheism, which is really what they're trying to bring into our own nation, is a nation that is no longer centered in God, no longer built on the foundation of God, but centered in man, but man with his proclivities, his inconsistencies, his egocentricity, and the fact that we've been breeding narcissism in our nation for so long already, having relegated God to his heaven beyond the beyond, we're paying for it now. We see it. And we can maybe talk, we got to pray, and we'll talk about this. And I don't know if we talked about it last week, but I want to, because I did mention it yesterday, and probably did speak about it. Did I speak about rules for radicals last week?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
I knew you said it at
at the mass. I mentioned this because it's...
We can always talk about it again.
You know, because you sit there and you say, well, how do these people who blatantly deceive us or try to deceive us, not everybody is deceived, but it depends on who you're listening to, but how can you blatantly lie or create a narrative that is contrary to the truth in order to subjugate a people to your own ideology or your own agenda? And as I suggested yesterday, you know, at the mass, and I speak all over the place mm-hmm. to so many people in so many venues that I mean all those venues are here. No, but the so I end up repeating myself over and over. And but this subjugating people through evil tactics that have been justified. This all comes out of the playbook, Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky, dedicated to Lucifer, because he was the first to rebel. But on the surface, it all sounds... See, this is what's so deceiving. On the surface, it all sounds so good.
Sweet and good.
And soft, and it's all about, as I said yesterday, you know, inclusivity and diversity and you know, this care for the poor and social justice and all that. But it's the very stuff that it's this ideological or identity politics that divides us as a people. Mm-hmm. And as I said yesterday, this is the whole where everything is what's good is bad and bad is good. It's this diabolical disorientation that we, meaning the church, if lived with authenticity, is about inclusiveness and diversity and universality. Because the church is a Catholic is universal, mm-hmm. and yeah, we've got just as a nation is flawed, the church is flawed because we're in the battle, we're on the way, the Holy Church is in heaven among the saints, all centered in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The light that they bear is His light. We're supposed to bear that same light in the battle in the here and now of life. But this is the and the fact that we profess truth and Christ is truth, a truth that sets us free. But it doesn't. It's not about the elimination or the extermination or getting those who don't profess our ideology, our values and principles out of the way. Now, you know, people say, "Well, what about the Inquisition?" You know, and by the way, the Inquisition wasn't unique to Catholicism. It was also prevalent among Protestants. It was just the nature of that specific mm-hmm. time in history. And we in the church, and this is what makes the church so, and this is why the church has endured. You know, 2,000, 4,000 years, because I'm thinking of from the time that God reveals himself in Abraham to the present, is because we have a person around which we correct ourselves. And who is that person? But it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who's revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ, the incarnate God. And so everything... And this is what makes us unique of non-Christian religions as well, is that we have the means to correct ourselves. Now, as human beings, we are sinful. The Scripture says the just man sins seven times a day. If he's a just man, we wouldn't be talking about grave sin. But we are sinners. We have a natural inclination to the things of this world. To the things of the flesh, to the seductive and deceptive tactics of the devil, because again, the devil is. So this is, we say there's the three enemies of the soul. It would be the world that is not under the dominion of God. it would be the flesh. You give free rein to the flesh. The flesh of its very nature will lust against the spirit and produce all kinds of bad things. And, of course, the devil, who is a deceiver, a seducer, who creates the illusion, and he's also the accuser. You think about those are the four things you got to keep in mind. Seduces, deceives, creates an illusion, which is part of the deception, and the accuser. So we're always up against that. We're always always up against those enemies of the soul. That's why we're not condemned to be here forever. Because and this darkness, these forces of the dark, eventually will pass away. Light will endure. A good will come out of evil. A light will come out of darkness, and life will come out of death. And that's why. Who said it? Was it Thomas Paine? For some reason I have him in my mind, but give me liberty or give me death. Mm. Was it Thomas Paine?
I don't know, but
give me liberty or give me death. In other words, to no longer be a free man, has got to be, and it's got to be a genuine freedom, not the free reign of the flesh, which is enslaving, which enslaves, but the freedom that allows us to coexist, to live in solidarity, respectively speaking, one with another, and in some reasonable peace, which means that we have to, you know, together we're bound by the laws of God, we adhere to the laws of God, and we ensure life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, a happiness that won't be fully found in this world, but a happiness that is much deeper than the superficial happiness that people seek in order to rid themselves of the kind of sufferings that are inherent in life. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, take a break, and then we'll come back. We'll pray the Angelus, and we'll pray the litany to Our Lady, the Litany of Loreto, and, of course, our prayer. It was prayed as an election prayer to Our Lady, but it's a prayer, even though the elections are behind us, but maybe not, we pray nonetheless. We pray for our nation. So, people, stay with us. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony, not Mary. I'm here with Tony and Nick, and we will be back in a moment. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change and AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change. On AM 750, WNDZ.
The Daughters of St. Paul are consecrated religious women founded 100 years ago to promote the gospel using all means of communications. I'm Sister Teresa Aletheia. Our founder, Blessed James Alberione, once said, "The motion picture has a psychological power over the human spirit because it takes hold of the whole person and strikes at all his faculties, physical and spiritual." Please join with us as we pray for those who are negatively affected by media. Heavenly Father, we pray in atonement for error and scandal spread throughout the world through the misuse of the media of social communication, and that media may be used to acknowledge and to make known that Jesus alone, the Word incarnate, is the perfect teacher who leads to eternal life. Amen. Waking up the world with social communication for 100 years, daughtersofstpaul.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Patrick Henry, who said,
Give me liberty.
Give me liberty or give me death. Thank you, Antonio, for correcting me on that.
I got this phone in front of my
face. Yeah, no, I was trying to give you credit. I was trying to...
Well, no, I mean, I take no credit for this because I am not the guy that does this. But it's this Angelica's like, well, you have a phone. Why don't you... And I didn't even think about it because...
It's like a...
This computer that's sitting right in front of me and I don't...
It's amazing. Well, that's the nice thing about these gadgets, right?
Yeah.
You know, it used to be that... I used to be able to calculate pretty well things in my head,
right.
You know, numbers and all that. And then when I started working for Sears Roebuck, this is before I went to the seminary and was there, 3 years? And everything was, you know, in those days we didn't have computers, but you know, you
had to be all in your head.
You had the because there they had the calculators and all that kind of stuff, and it really does kind of mess up your thinking.
See, I've always liked history, and I like the book reading, but now it's amazing. You can just look up anything, and the internet tells you whatever.
Yeah, you know, there's going to be.
I hate that.
It's nice having it at the push of a button. You can get the information you want, which is really a great thing. But gosh, you wonder. We really had it hard in our day. In our days, didn't we?
Wow, to pick up a book and research.
You had to go to the library. You had to go to the what do they call that? The catalog or the where you had to go through all those cards. Card catalog or whatever it was.
And
you had encyclopedias and.
What's an encyclopedia?
What's an encyclopedia? Yeah. It's really interesting, you know. So.
The Dewey Decimal System. That was the card.
Well, you know, the other thing is, like, even today, because of Amazon, and, you know, you can order things. So, and who likes, some people love shopping. I hate shopping.
Yeah.
But will stores become obsolete?
It's going to disappear.
They say newspapers eventually will become...
Newspapers much are.
Isn't it amazing how... Remember when you had the huge newspapers and you look forward to it every day and you spread it out over your whole the table in the kitchen?
I read a paper every day until it became like $2 or whatever to
buy. And then it got very small.
Yeah.
I was... I think I might have been... in sabbatical, or maybe it was in my year retreat or year novitiate or whatever. I don't know, but it was at one point, it probably was my sabbatical, and I came back and I saw the Sun-Times and the Tribune, and I thought, what happened? Where did the paper go?
And there's really nothing in it.
I haven't read one.
The last time I picked up a paper, it was $2 or whatever the case it is, that was a lot. There was nothing in it.
Yeah, how much was it?
I was buying when they were a quarter,
25
cents.
Yeah. Unreal. Anyway, we got to pray.
And just told me my age.
Yeah.
Let's pray.
Got to pray. We need to pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Ghost,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary,
pray for us.
Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Mother of Christ,
pray for us.
Mother of Divine Grace,
pray for us.
Mother most pure,
pray for us.
Mother most chaste,
pray for us.
Mother inviolate,
pray for us.
Mother undefiled,
pray for us.
Mother most amiable,
pray for us.
Mother most admirable,
pray for us.
Mother of good counsel,
pray for us.
Mother of our Creator,
pray for us.
Mother of our Savior,
pray for us.
Virgin most prudent,
pray for us.
Virgin most venerable,
pray for us.
Virgin most renowned,
pray for us.
Virgin most powerful,
pray for us.
Virgin most merciful,
pray for us.
Virgin most faithful,
pray for us.
Mirror of justice,
pray for us.
Seat of wisdom,
pray for us.
Cause of our joy,
pray for us.
Spiritual vessel,
pray for us.
Vessel of honor,
pray for us.
Singular vessel of devotion,
pray for us.
Mystical rose,
pray for us.
Tower of David,
pray for us.
Tower of ivory,
pray for us.
House of gold,
pray for us.
Ark of the covenant,
pray for us.
Gate of heaven,
pray for us.
Morning star,
pray for us.
Health of the sick,
pray for us.
Refuge of sinners,
pray for us.
Comfort of the afflicted,
pray for us.
Help of Christians,
pray for us.
Queen of angels,
pray for us.
Queen of patriarchs,
pray for us.
Queen of prophets,
pray for us.
Queen of apostles,
pray for us.
Queen of martyrs,
pray for us.
Queen of confessors,
pray for us.
Queen of virgins,
pray for us.
Queen of all saints,
pray for us.
Queen conceived without original sin,
pray for us.
Queen assumed into heaven,
pray for us.
Queen of the Most Holy Rosary,
pray for us.
Queen of the family,
pray for us.
Queen of peace,
pray for us.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
have mercy
on us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, graciously hear us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. Trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin, pray for us
of recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints in heaven,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You know, this prayer really is a powerful prayer, isn't it? Because it really goes to the heart of a lot of things that have become undone in our, you know, by the way, so when I say that, you know, we always have to remember that, and it goes back to the gospel yesterday about the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. It's almost a way of, if you want to translate it into the nation, you know, half the nation is wise, half the nation is foolish. Now, we have to decide, you know, we can debate, you know, who are the wise and who are the fools. Well, let me just say this, quite honestly, because Jesus also says, and I mentioned this yesterday toward the end, and I've mentioned it here many times, but we'll talk about the parable in a moment, which is really moves us away from the whole political stuff. But the political stuff, we can't, again, this is where we can't be just nice, right. Which the word doesn't exist in the gospel. We have to be about truth. And we do live in a nation. We're citizens of this nation. We're citizens of the world. And we have an obligation to be engaged,
See, and that's what we should be. I mean, we should be able to talk on both sides. But when one side shouts you down and calls you this or that, whatever, and this one, there's never any kind of, this is not the way government works, you know? And I think about this because I spent a lot of my time not even paying attention to these things. But then when I started paying attention to these things, that's why I think people do at times have strong opinions about things. When you kind of look and you see that there's something not right. And I mean, I know you're very, you know, conscious of what you say. You don't want to upset people. But I was thinking about that at Mass when you said that. And I myself listen to all kinds of opinions. I listen to people talk. And believe it or not, I think real people love the conversation, love the debate. But when it gets to a point that I don't want to hear you anymore, you're wrong,
sure.
or I'm just going to do what I'm going to do anyway without a debate, that's where we have problems.
Well, good point. And that's, you know, that was the thing yesterday when I said, you know, I try to be prudent, okay?
Yeah.
When we get directives from the archdiocese, and I get it, you know, to a certain extent, but you're not, it's almost like somebody saying, you know, well, don't rock the boat. Mm-hmm. You can't align yourself with this individual or that. Let's just use, you know, Trump or
right.
Biden. You don't mention this name. You don't mention that name. But yet it seems that the church leadership has certainly aligned itself
exactly.
with the Democratic the Democratic Party. It seems mm-hmm. to me, you know, individuals. I would say perhaps not, but it makes it very hard when you're told, you know, you can't you're not supposed to be political.
But we are.
But we are.
You know what I mean?
We are because
that's
we live in a nation. You know,
yeah.
We've got to make decisions. You know, we've got to help our people to make decisions. And in some ways, I've spoken about it. I try to be
right.
careful. I don't want to because people are so hypersensitive.
Right.
But as I said yesterday, and I might have said last week, and I want to say it again today. It's just trying to look at it from an objective
yeah.
point of view. And this is where. You know, I go back to the fact that the word nice is not in Scripture. That word you won't find it. Now we're to be a God-fearing people, people who love the commandments of God, fulfill the commandments of God. We've got to be people of truth. You know, I mean the commandments are just completely disregarded in this nation today. It used to be the bedrock of our nation, you know, that we were built on Judeo-Christian principles, values, the Ten Commandments of God. Now, you can't even, it's against the law to teach the commandments of God. And we wonder why we've devolved into this kind of, this state of chaos, because it really is. It's a very chaotic situation we find ourselves in. But those who adhere to and espouse religiosity and morality, and again, it was, I believe, John Adams who said this Constitution was made for a religious and moral people. When you take God out of the picture, and didn't it, you know, I mentioned this, and it was, again, I'm trying to look at this objectively. So you sit there and, okay, now when an entire party votes to eliminate God from the narrative, shouldn't that bother you? That was done at the last convention. Well, am I mistaken?
No, you're not. But amazingly, I think there's many people that does not bother them.
What does bother them is when God is in so there was. Do you recall the situation when there was all this booing at the?
I don't remember what that.
But it
was
around the question of God. The question of God.
Right.
So if we're a God-fearing people, which means that the only thing we fear is the absence of God from our lives, because we know that if we center this, if we're centered in man, again with his proclivities and his idiosyncrasies and his inclinations, sinful inclinations, his egocentricity and all that kind of stuff, and the fact that we've been breeding narcissism, then we're really, really, we're setting ourselves up for a major, major defeat, you know, the defeat of genuine freedom, the pursuit of what? Life, liberty, and happiness. I mean, I just find it's so disgusting when women and men, but most especially women, when I always go back to this, the women's march that took place after Trump was elected president in 2016, and it was carried live. It was live on television. So I happened to be watching it on the internet. It was a Saturday morning, and I didn't watch the whole thing, but I didn't have that kind of time, and I didn't have a stomach for it, to be honest, because it was so gross. It was so grotesque.
See, that's the thing too. People get snippets of things all over. And that's why when you make comments like you do or anyone does, they don't understand. I was having this conversation with my sister-in-law on Sunday too. We were talking, you know, think about the simple person that isn't about the research, you know, and looking for things, or is maybe not even interested in it. But you hear constantly, one person is demonized so much from the very beginning that at the end of that, the damage is so done. At the end, it's like, this guy is the devil.
Right.
And there's so many people that have woken up and found out, wait a minute, maybe he's not. And again, it works on both sides. I mean, it's like I never in my life, when I heard about how the media is not good. I mean, that's where I got my information from. I would never have thought people have alternative motives or they have agendas. Right. But I guess I'm one of those guys that have seen this so much now that it sickens me.
Well, that's exactly.
And there's some that don't.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the point, what people would call the uninformed.
Yeah.
It depends on who you're listening to. And because of the nature of our, the nature of our country today, where we've got all kinds of distractions, all kinds of toys. You know, I go back to Jerry, God rest his soul, who said, once the toys are taken away, you know, we're going to have problems. We've got many, many things to distract us. And now, you know, you throw into the mix, you know, drugs and all that. Is it true or not? I thought I read that Portland legalized major or heavy drugs like
I don't know. I haven't heard that. I wouldn't think they would, but I wouldn't put it past them either.
but anyway, the point is, if you can keep the people in, again, this is this whole thing, you know, we're going to subjugate a people in order to further our agenda, which is to power. So keep the people subjugate the people, create a dependency, you know, so that they're totally dependent. They don't have to, there's no incentive for, the country was built on this, hard work and discipline and, again, morality. You didn't want to, you wanted to live. People had this, they took pride, a good pride in the fact that we were dignified, noble graceful. Now, of course, I go back to what I was saying earlier that, you know, where there have been deviations, we have a means to correct. And that was certainly the case with slavery, you know. So we can, and it's part of the Christian virtue is that, okay, it could be the individual, it could be a group of people, it could be a nation. We fall, or we're acting in a way that is contrary to the ways of God, and God in His merciful in His mercy and grace, He will correct. He'll move the spirit to make correction, and so we correct what was wrong, and rather than, you know, dwell on and live in the past, shouldn't we be grateful that, you know, it's taken time, but to eradicate injustice? Yes, of course, because I'm fully committed to eradicating injustice where there is injustice. But what happens is when you slip into the identity politics, it's a way to further subjugate people, keep them, you know, bound to the past, always emphasize the negative, or create a narrative that is, you know, to stoke the divisions. And you pit people against people, you know. So we're creating divisions, and this is what we've seen happen in a very, very big way in the last 8 years in a very, very big way. And there's a point where you kind of you're woke to that reality, mm-hmm. and you say, "This is it." Was like the example I used yesterday, and I've used it on the radio. And that was when I was working for the downtrodden here in our own neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Because I'm 30 years here, and you know, so we had 85% recent immigrants, mostly Mexican, and I worked extensively with them, and I lobbied for them, and I because there was a lot of there were injustices, right. and I wanted to, and I helped. I went out of my way to help so many become legal citizens, mm-hmm. of the nation. They're good people, hardworking people. I love these people very, very much. This was my family. These are the people that God put under my care. And when I began to work with community organizations in order to have this kind of collective support system that involved other pastors and ministers, and you had these people who were overseeing this community organizing in order to advocate for justice, and you begin to, you know, you get into that, and you begin to see that there's something insidious going on here, especially then when you bring into the mix the leftist activist, mm-hmm. Marxist, and they are Marxist. And the deceit. Well, see, then it goes back. We had mentioned before the rules for radicals, because that's the playbook. Saul Alinsky, Barack Obama was steeped in that. Hillary Clinton did her whole thesis on that, and the book was dedicated to Lucifer, as I mentioned earlier. But when I was in a retreat where we had to go into a retreat to further understand the tactics to use in order to fight for justice, and you realize that these tactics are really totally contrary to Christianity, because the evil is justified if it furthers the agenda. But then you begin to realize that it is. I keep going back to this. It's subjugating a people, so that these people are dependent on your power to you kind of keep them down, keep them dependent, and you grow in power. Now, what they wanted to do was they wanted to use the church as a platform, because of course this is where everybody came. You know, mm-hmm. this is 85% of the people in the neighborhood were Mexican. This is where, you know, the church was their home. This is they were identified Catholics and practicing Catholics. It was part of their tradition, part of their identity. And so naturally, this organization wanted to use the church as a platform. And before I became privy to what they were doing, I was, because if you can help us to help these people, let's work together. We were being encouraged to do so. No. When I realized what they were doing, and I pulled back and I says, no, we're not going to use, I'm not going to sell these people out, and I'm not going to sell our values and our principles out. And I made it very clear to the people. I wrote something to the people, and then they went on the attack. They went on the attack, this activist, leftist activist group of organizers went on the attack. They had to discredit me in order to, and in doing so, they divided the people because they had many of the people dependent on them. They divided the people, divided the community, and they even created their own little church, you know, and named it after a gangbanger who had died.
Wow.
And I had, as I mentioned yesterday, I had the young guy died. He was killed on the corner of Cleaver and Potomac. And I went, I knew the family, I knew the parents. They were devout Catholics. But the kid was in the gangs. And this community organizing group, this activist, leftist activist group, they were in cahoots with the gangs. We had a lot of gangs in the neighborhood. I buried many, many, many young people. So I went that at 1 o'clock in the morning. I was there with the family, and I'm praying with the family, and they happened to be there. This group was there because they were, this was one of their minions, right? The gangbangers were their minions, just as Antifa and Black Lives Matter and the anarchists are minions to certain sectors of the political regime. And so, so we were all there together in this home. I was there 4 hours. 4 hours with the family. He had just died. He'd just been killed. His body had been taken away, and I finally had to say, I have to leave. It's getting, it's now what, 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever, and I'm giving a retreat to the sisters. This was in September. I have to give, not to the sisters, but to the teachers in the school, because we're just starting school. And so I said, listen, I'm going, but I'll be in the rectory, and I'll be back this evening, and we'll celebrate Mass in the home, and then I'll help you prepare for the funeral, and we'll get you through this. And so I did that. That night I was back there. We had the Mass. Now these community activists weren't there. Of course they're not going to be there, not for the Mass.
No.
And so I'm there, and then we prepare them for the funeral, and I'll tell you what happened was, as we were going to the cemetery after the Mass, and I had police officers at the funeral too, and they were, because of the nature of what was going on, and they were very complimentary to me, how I spoke to the young people there, against, the violence and all this. But anyway, as we're going to the cemetery, the gangbangers came out from everywhere, and they escorted, they took over at the cemetery. They kind of took over. I was able to do the prayers, and then they did their thing, whatever. So with this family, who were simple people, humble people, immigrant people, the parents hardworking, we had the 9-day novena, which is the custom. We pray the rosary for 9 days. I wasn't there all those 9 days. I couldn't be because of my work here, but I went back at the end of the 9 days. I had Mass in the home. Well, this leftist activist group of organizers, because I had severed ties with them because of their tactics, they went on the attack, and they put out this newspaper. They had their own newspaper. And went all over Chicago, and they had on the cover of the paper a priest wearing a cassock, which is the traditional garb of the priest. And they have me in its cartoon form running away from the people. And then it was this huge article, and it was completely false. Completely. They made me out to be this uncaring priest. They said that I got notification that this young man died, and I just said, well, I'm in the rectory if you need me. without, but it was just, it was absolutely evil, deceitful. It was condemning. I can't tell you what, and then what did they do? They divided our people, especially those who had other children in the gangs and all that. And this is the stuff that has infiltrated the political arena. Certainly on the, and I'm saying from an objective point of view, much of the Democratic Party, I shouldn't say much of the Democratic Party, but enough that they've got the upper hand, because these are the tactics they use. And it's infiltrated the media. It's infiltrated big tech. The point is, even sports arena, so I ask the question, how do these people sleep at night? You know, how is it that you go out of your way to demonize and to distort and pervert, or even to call people who do support Trump, maybe not the man, but the policies and all that? I mean, isn't there what has happened to civil discourse? Forget the person. Somebody kind of chided me a little bit about what I was saying yesterday, and I said,
I knew that was going to be the case.
Yeah, and I said, because it's in what an evil man he is and the things he says. It's not about them. And I even said that during, it's just not about Trump or Biden, but has Biden been an angel flying high?
No, none of them are.
Absolutely not. What's been exposed is all this corruption. And again, as you said, unless you're informed, and I try to look at things from so many perspectives, listen to so many different, and after a while you say, wow, truth begins to reveal itself.
Exactly.
You know?
I have listened to all conversations. This is why this kind of blows my mind, but it doesn't, because I am one of those people that listens. I'll listen. Unless you shout me down, unless you tell me I'm this or that because I believe this, then I'll respectfully say I can't listen to you, but I can hear both sides of every story.
Oh, and see, the problem with you and with me and with most of us is we're Catholics, we're Christians, so we're supposed to be nice.
Right.
We're supposed to be quiet. And and our God is out of the picture, you know. Even though, it's interesting though, now they're using scripture, you know.
Yeah.
It's such a farce. I hate to say. Got to take a break. We'll take a final break and come back and wrap up. Okay, so don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Newsflash. This just in, Winds of Change podcast can now be heard on your iPhone and Android phone. Download the TuneIn Radio app and search Winds of Change, and Winds of Change will be right there for your very ears. We now return you to Winds of Change.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Boy, I didn't know we were going to get into this again, but I think it's important, that you do take responsibility. It's your fault, but but I do have to say, quite honestly, and this is why, even though I was chided a little bit by a few people after yesterday, I also have to say, at one point I said, you're my people. I have a responsibility. And I can't just, you know, pretend none of this, because I know what I'm going through, and I know what I suspect I know what people are going through as well. And I can't tell you how many people said, you know, we want somebody, we needed to hear this, because nobody is coming to our defense. And again, it's not about the man. It's not about Trump, Biden. Put that, it's about what is happening. Mm-hmm. The very moral fiber of our nation is crumbling, and crumbling very, very fast. And those who hold to the law, those who are law-abiding, and humble in that regard as well, and go, you know, do what we're told to do, you know, there's a sense that we're being punished. The bad guys, and I say the bad guys, I mean that, you know, there's no justification for the rioting and the looting. And by the way, it didn't even happen, did it?
Yeah, I missed. I missed all of that. Did that happen?
It didn't happen. No, no.
Okay.
Of course, everything is boarded up,
right?
Because, you know, if it had been the other way around, you better believe it. And it, once this is all litigated,
see, that's the interesting thing.
If it goes in the favor of, if what was done in the dark is really exposed in the light,
then we'll have
them. Then we got to be ready for total
mayhem. See, I found that interesting, because even in Chicago here, people, they were warning about that. So
sure.
To me,
sure.
Again, this is all, if you're thinking, if you're looking, and you really understand things, something is not right. It's not just sour grapes.
Well, see, everybody knows that. People know that.
Yeah.
That's where they want. They you know, from the church, I'm saying, you know, because you can get... You've got those who are uninformed, as you said. Mm-hmm. If you're just listening to some of the mainstream media, or if you're, you know, you're just kind of, your head is in the sand, and you're just kind of caught up mm-hmm. in your own pleasures and all that, and you have no concern for what's happening politically. You're just having a good time and, you know, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, it's mm-hmm. until the toys are taken away, as Jerry, God yeah. rest his soul, would say. But there's enough people, quite a few people, millions of people, who are saying, hey, you know, what's happening here? Mm-hmm. And, you know, why are we being demonized? Why are we being called Nazis? Why are we, you know, as I said yesterday, you know, this identity politics, this whole regime is creating division purposefully, in a purposeful way.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, we're gonna extend an olive branch, and we're gonna, you know, after you've completely demonized, maligned, and mm-hmm. and lied, and done anything and everything you could to destroy the duly elected president and a people. Okay, he's got rough edges, but what he's done. I mean, because this guy has accomplished a lot, and for minorities, for immigrants, on the international,
none of it matters.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because it's about power. Mm-hmm. It's about power and subjugating the people in order to perpetuate a power, and it's disgusting. It's disgusting, and it's certainly not Christian. And Christians are being told, even by our own leadership, you know, you got to be nice. You got to be nice. Don't rock the boat. No, we're not advocating violence. We're not a violent people,
no.
But we are people of truth, and it's only this truth that will set us free. If truth doesn't prevail, we will be a people who have enslaved ourselves, or will be enslaved. And maybe it's not proper to use the word enslaved, but it is but that's really what it is. Mm. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. Tomorrow, Mary will be here. And Tony, good to have you back.
Same here, Father.
Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you.
Amen.
Ciao.
Marvel and flash. meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time.